Imagine walking through downtown Washington, D.C. right now. You know, the cranes are gone, the office buildings are largely empty, and commercial construction has basically plummeted to a 15-year low.
Yeah, it's really a ghost town for new development up there right now.
Right. But then hop on a plane and look out the window over the northern suburbs of Dallas. I mean, you cannot look in any direction without seeing bulldozers clearing dirt for brand new retail space.
It is honestly a completely different world.
It really is. So today, we're figuring out how one specific sector and one specific Texas market is just entirely defying economic gravity. Welcome to the deep dive.
Glad to be diving into this one.
Yeah, we are staring at a massive stack of April 2026 commercial real estate data. And well, for most of the country, the headlines are pretty grim.
Very grim.
But we aren't here to dwell on the national doom and gloom. Our mission today is to cut through that noise. If you are a commercial real estate professional looking for an edge, we are giving you the authoritative insider perspective on Dallas-Fort Worth retail.
Exactly. We're going to break down the capital flows, the radical tenant shifts we're seeing, and the underlying data to prove why DFW is the premier retail market in the country right now.
Okay, let's unpack this by looking at the sheer volume of what is actually getting built. Because, I mean, the contrast between the rest of the country and Texas is jarring. Nationally, we're seeing retail construction pipelines just grind to an absolute halt.
It's a remarkably stark divide. Across the entire country, retail construction dropped 8% year over year in the first quarter of 2026.
Wow, 8%.
Yeah, we're looking at just 64.2 million square feet under construction nationwide. And, you know, to put that in perspective, that is well below the 10-year historical average of about 90 million square feet.
That is a massive drop-off.
Right. And because of this severe pullback in new supply, national retail vacancy has plummeted to a historic low of 4.3%.
Which means landlords are holding all the cards.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
When supply is that constrained, landlords hold all the leverage. They are
Mm-hmm.
utilizing this historically tight market to impose incredibly strict lease terms. They heavily scrutinize tenant financials, and they push rents higher simply because they know alternative spaces just do not exist for these retailers.
Right. The national picture feels like a brutal game of musical chairs where the music has already stopped. But then you look at Dallas-Fort Worth, and it's like a completely different economy. DFW is the massive exception to this national
Oh,
freeze.
without a doubt.
We are seeing explosive growth driven primarily by new strip malls that are anchoring these sprawling master planned communities, especially up in the northern suburbs. You look at projects like Jerry Jones's Blue Star Land development up in Prosper.
Or that massive $3 billion master plan community moving forward in Terrell.
Yes, exactly. It feels like every time you drive up the tollway, a new retail center is breaking ground.
And the data backs up exactly what you're seeing on the ground. DFW leads the entire nation right now with a retail pipeline of nearly 7 million square feet.
7 million.
Yeah. Dallas-Fort Worth alone accounts for roughly 10% of the entire national retail construction pipeline.
That's just wild.
And what's even more telling about the strength of this market is that almost 5 million square feet of that 7 million is already pre-leased.
Wait, really? 5 million is already spoken for.
Yep. The tenants are locked in before the foundation is even poured.
Okay, I have to ask the obvious question here. If developers in the rest of the country cannot make the math work right now because land costs are too high, materials are too expensive, and, you know, borrowing money is painful, how is Dallas-Fort Worth managing to build 10% of the nation's new retail?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it really comes down to the fundamental difference between infill development and outward expansion.
Okay, break that down for me.
Well, in most major national markets, developers are forced to build infill retail. They are trying to squeeze a new retail center into a dense, already developed urban area, which means they are competing for incredibly expensive land against high-density residential or industrial developers.
Right, and the land is just too pricey.
Exactly. The math on those projects simply does not pencil out when construction costs and interest rates are this elevated. But in DFW, developers are building outward into former agricultural land.
Ah, I see.
Yeah, these master planned communities in places like Prosper and Terrell, they act as entirely self-contained economic engines. They are bringing thousands of new rooftops to empty areas, which instantly creates a captive consumer base.
So they are essentially building the shoppers and the shops at the exact same time?
Precisely. That guaranteed demographic influx allows developers to underwrite these new neighborhood retail centers with absolute confidence. The localized demand is so highly concentrated that landlords can dictate really favorable terms,
which lets them push rents high enough to offset the construction costs.
Right. And most importantly, they can secure the pre-leasing that satisfies their lenders.
And because DFW is the epicenter of this highly functional, profitable retail development, we are seeing the big institutional money rush in. I was looking at the headline that just dropped regarding Ares Management.
Oh, yeah, the Whitestone deal.
Yeah. They are stepping in to acquire Whitestone REIT in an all-cash take-private deal. I mean, when a massive private equity firm like Ares makes a move that aggressive, it validates everything we're seeing on the ground in Texas.
It absolutely does. We were talking about a $1.7 billion deal.
Billion with a B.
Exactly. Ares is paying $19 a share, which represents a 26.5% premium. Whitestone has a portfolio of 56 properties totaling about 4.9 million square feet, and it is heavily concentrated right here in the Sun Belt.
So markets like DFW, Austin, Houston, Phoenix.
Right. Private equity is specifically and aggressively targeting grocery-anchored and convenience-focused retail. In the industry, we call this necessity retail.
Wait, I have to stop you there. We read the financial news every single day, and the dominant narrative is that private equity is pulling back from commercial real estate because, well, they are bleeding from 6.5% mortgage rates. You're telling me they are willingly dropping $1.7 billion on neighborhood strip malls? The math on that doesn't immediately make sense to me.
It makes sense when you look at what capital is actually running away from. Private equity isn't abandoning real estate. They are fleeing volatility.
Okay, so that makes sense.
Right. In a macroeconomic environment that is fraught with inflation and rate uncertainty, institutional capital is hunting for the safest, most durable cash flow available. Necessity-based, open-air retail in high-growth Texas markets provides exactly that.
Because everyone still needs to buy milk.
Think about it. Consumers will always need groceries, they will always need pharmacies, and they need daily services like dry cleaners and haircuts, regardless of what the broader economy is doing.
Right.
Furthermore, the public stock markets have been heavily discounting real estate investment trusts like Whitestone. Ours recognized a classic arbitrage opportunity. By taking Whitestone private at a premium, Ares acquires a stabilized, cash-flowing portfolio in the exact Sun Belt markets where population density and limited new supply guarantee long-term rent growth.
That is fascinating.
And we are seeing this liquidity at the asset level, too, not just in massive corporate buyouts. Look at the $113.7 million in acquisition financing recently secured for three Fort Worth shopping centers.
That's Presidio, Tahoma, and Vista Ridge, right?
Yep, those exact three. It proves that lenders and equity partners are more than willing to deploy capital, provided the asset is necessity retail in a hypergrowth corridor.
Okay, so if Ares and the big private equity firms are buying up the supply and landlords are leveraging the tight market to jack up rents, what happens to the actual retailers? Are they just getting priced out or are they finding ways to adapt?
It's pretty brutal out there for them.
Because I'm reading that median lease-up times nationally are hitting historical lows, with prime spaces filling in under 5 months.
Yeah, the retailers being forced into a corner,
yeah,
and they are radically adapting their physical real estate strategies just to get their foot in the door. The competition for space is ferocious.
I can imagine.
Sprouts Farmers Market actually went on record recently stating that they had to execute 5 new leases in just 21 days simply to secure the space before their competitors snatched it up.
5 leases in 3 weeks? That's insane.
It is. If you are a broker trying to place a tenant right now, you are feeling this squeeze firsthand. To survive, major brands are shrinking their physical footprints.
Like who?
Well, the most glaring example is IKEA.
Really?
Yeah. We all know IKEA for those massive, sprawling blue warehouses, but they are actively pivoting to smaller formats. They just opened a location in a Phoenix strip mall that is less than a quarter the size of their usual superstore.
Oh, wow. We're seeing that pivot everywhere. Retailers are behaving a lot like tech startups right now. They are merging, shrinking, and completely reinventing their distribution models.
Gut feeling.
Like, post-bankruptcy Bed Bath & Beyond is dropping $150 million to acquire the Container Store and F9 brands just to create a unified Beyond Home Services platform.
Yeah, a massive shift.
Meanwhile, Levi Strauss is aggressively reducing its reliance on traditional department stores. They're pushing their direct-to-consumer sales past 52% of total revenue.
Yeah.
So what does this all mean for the actual real estate? Does an IKEA shrinking from a giant blue box to a strip mall slot permanently change the architectural footprint of Texas retail centers?
It completely alters the architectural landscape, and it directly creates a massive bottleneck for local tenants.
How so?
Historically, a global brand like IKEA or a major home goods retailer required custom-built large-format boxes. But by downsizing their operational models to fit into standard 20,000 to 40,000 square foot spaces, these massive corporate brands are suddenly competing for the exact same mid-box and end-cap spaces that local and regional necessity retailers rely on.
Oh, wow. So the local mom-and-pop fitness center or like a regional pet store is suddenly bidding against IKEA for a corner slot in a DFW strip mall.
Exactly. This trend unlocks existing open-air retail inventory for massive brands, but it creates a brutal bottleneck for the available space. If you are an investor or a leasing broker in DFW, the value of your existing mid-box inventory just skyrocketed. Retailers simply no longer have the luxury of demanding custom build-outs. They are forced to adapt their business models to fit whatever open-air square footage is actually available on the market.
But, you know, it isn't just real estate economics forcing these physical changes. We're also tracking a literal change in the physical footprints of the American consumer.
The GLP-1 data.
Yes. The impact of GLP-1 weight loss drugs on the apparel sector is just staggering. According to JP Morgan, over 10 million Americans are on GLP-1s in 2026.
That's a huge portion of the demographic.
And Bernstein analysts project this is going to lead to a $3 to $13 billion annual boost in wardrobe spending simply because patients are forced to buy entirely new wardrobes as they lose weight.
What's fascinating here is how a pharmaceutical breakthrough is translating directly into commercial real estate vacancies and foot traffic patterns.
It's like an unexpected software update for the human body. But the hardware, the physical retail spaces, and the brands that cater to them hasn't downloaded the patch yet.
That is a great way to put it.
Right. Suddenly, the stores built for the old operating system are becoming obsolete, while others are flooded with traffic.
Yeah, the immediate beneficiaries are off-price retailers like TJ Maxx, alongside discounters like Walmart and Target. They're seeing massive foot traffic increases from consumers who need to rapidly and affordably replace all their clothing.
But on the flip side, plus-size retail is taking a structural hit.
A huge hit.
Yeah. Target has dropped its extended sizes online by 37%. And Torrid, which is a major specialty plus-size retailer, is shuttering roughly 180 stores across 2025 and early 2026 due to double-digit sales declines.
This is a perfect example of why underwriting retail requires constantly monitoring the underlying health and behavior of the consumer base. For years, plus-size specialty retail was a highly reliable tenant category. It absorbed significant square footage in malls and power centers across DFW.
And now that's totally changed.
Right. Now, landlords and leasing brokers must actively rethink their tenant mix strategies in real time. The sudden vacancy of these specialty stores presents both a risk and an opportunity.
Because foot traffic is migrating so heavily toward value-oriented and off-price formats, landlords have to pivot quickly.
Exactly. They need to backfill these newly vacant spaces with the exact off-price apparel brands or even health and wellness concepts that are actively capturing this redirected consumer spend.
Okay, while retailers are fighting over mid-box spaces and brokers are scrambling to adjust their tenant mixes to account for GLP-1s, there is an entirely different competitor buying up Texas land.
Oh boy, here we go.
And this competitor is changing the development landscape on a scale that is honestly hard to comprehend. We're talking about data centers. Texas currently has over 300 operating data centers, with another 142 under construction. And that is all driven by the insatiable demand for artificial intelligence and cloud computing.
The scale of the land grab is unprecedented. LandBridge and PowerBridge just partnered to build a 2-gigawatt data center campus in West Texas.
2 gigawatts.
Yeah, and it sits on roughly 3,400 acres. Aligned Data Centers just broke ground on Project Caprock, which is a 540-megawatt campus on 313 acres.
Unbelievable.
The industry is expanding so rapidly that the state of Texas is currently debating the future of $3.2 billion in sales tax exemptions specifically for the sector.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. I look at these data centers, and yes, they are obviously incredible for the tech sector and the PAC space, but from a commercial real estate perspective, aren't they basically just massive windowless warehouses filled with servers?
Well, yes and no.
Like, how does an infrastructure project like that actually benefit the DFW retail market?
Because it creates what we call new high-density suburban nodes. You cannot look at a 2-gigawatt data center campus as just a building. It functions as a permanent economic gravity well.
Okay, I follow you.
Constructing and operating these massive facilities requires thousands of specialized, highly paid workers. When you drop that kind of workforce into a developing or rural area, you generate an immediate, inelastic demand for adjacent services.
Ah, so it's not about the servers. It's about the people maintaining the servers and the people building the facility to house the servers.
Exactly. We are already seeing the CRE ripple effects. For example, Target Hospitality, a company previously known primarily as an ICE contractor, is pivoting heavily to build $550 million worth of man camps.
Wow, $500 million for worker housing.
Yeah. These are massive workforce housing sites built specifically for data center construction workers in North Texas. Those workers need housing, they need grocery stores, they need restaurants, and they need daily conveniences.
Which basically forces retail to follow them out there.
It fundamentally shifts where new retail hubs are financially viable. Land on the outskirts of DFW that was previously considered purely industrial or agricultural suddenly becomes prime real estate for necessity-based retail.
That makes total sense.
As these data centers push the boundaries of the Metroplex outward, they pull retail development right alongside them. It creates entirely new trade areas for you as brokers and investors to capitalize on.
And what makes all of this explosive growth so incredible, the master planned communities, the private equity buyouts, the influx of data center workers, is that it is all happening in Texas, despite a genuinely punishing macroeconomic environment.
It really is a tough environment nationally.
When we look at the national data, the broader picture is severe. The ongoing conflict involving Iran has kept inflation stubbornly high, which has pushed the 30-year fixed mortgage rate up to 6.57%. That has effectively vaporized any expectations of Federal Reserve rate cuts in the near term.
And we're seeing distress in commercial mortgage-backed securities.
Yeah.
Essentially, the loans keeping old commercial properties afloat climb past 12%.
Right. And national office vacancies have hit that astonishing record high of 21%. Furthermore, the new 50% global tariffs on steel and aluminum are introducing severe cost uncertainty into any new construction modeling across the country.
It's a lot of headwinds at once.
It is. And as we mentioned earlier, commercial construction in Washington, D.C. has plummeted to a 15-year low, driven heavily by federal government downsizing, including the DOGE-related office closures. When you stack all of this up office assets in freefall, borrowing costs frozen at these highs and construction material costs wildly unpredictable, how long can DFW retail act as a shield for investors?
This raises an important question about the fundamental nature of the current commercial real estate market. Dallas-Fort Worth retail isn't just acting as a temporary shield. The bifurcation we are witnessing is a permanent structural realignment.
A structural realignment, meaning it's not going back.
Exactly. Capital operates on a relative basis. It is rapidly fleeing risky assets like functionally obsolete office spaces, and it's leaving heavily regulated markets with declining populations. But that capital still has to go somewhere to generate yield.
Right, the money needs a home.
And it is finding a safe haven in the exact type of necessity-based, high-growth DFW retail that savvy professionals are focusing on. As long as Dallas-Fort Worth continues to absorb corporate relocations, expand its population, and lead the nation in infrastructure development, its retail sector will act as a primary growth engine.
So the headwinds aren't stopping it.
Ironically, the high borrowing costs and the new tariffs actually serve to widen the moat around existing DFW retail properties. It makes the current inventory infinitely more valuable because replacing that building or building a new one across the street has become incredibly cost prohibitive.
So the macroeconomic headwinds are actually fortifying the value of the assets already sitting on the ground in Texas.
Precisely.
To synthesize everything we have covered in this deep dive, the national retail market is starved for supply and construction is grinding to a halt. Meanwhile, Dallas-Fort Worth is building 10% of the nation's new retail simply to keep up with booming outward demographic expansion.
Yep, the growth is undeniable.
And institutional capital, like Ares Management, is happily paying massive premiums to acquire necessity-based Sunbelt retail through take-private deals because it is the safest, most durable yield available.
While retailers like IKEA are shrinking their footprints and moving at startup speeds just to secure space, creating a massive bottleneck for local tenants.
Right. At the same time, consumer trends like GLP-1 weight loss drugs are completely reshaping the physical tenant mix of these shopping centers. And all of this is occurring against a backdrop of a hostile macroeconomic storm that is permanently bifurcating the industry, pushing the smartest institutional money directly into our backyard.
And as you process all of this data to refine your market strategy, I want to leave you with one final thought.
Let's hear it.
We discussed the massive influx of data centers devouring gigawatts of power across the state. As the demand for electricity reaches unprecedented levels, driven by AI and population growth, the future of retail real estate might not just depend on finding the best location or negotiating with the strongest credit tenants.
What's it going to depend on?
In the very near future, the absolute most valuable asset a retail property can possess might simply be an ironclad guarantee that the building will have uninterrupted access to the electrical grid.
Wow. If the grid is tapped out, it doesn't matter how great your anchor tenant is. The music hasn't just stopped for the rest of the country. The power might be getting cut, too. But here in DFW, the music is still playing, and gravity is still pulling the capital right to us. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Use these insights, leverage the data, and stay ahead of the market.